I'm backstage with principal percussionist Chris Stavinia of the Philadelphia Orchestra. Chris, it's great to see you again.
Good to see you.
And how is this going? The percussion section, typical of Shostakovich, keeps things pretty busy.
Yes, actually, we have seven players in this section for this particular piece. Literally a battery, as we're often referred to. And we're utilized in a very kind of militaristic style, as is kind of typical in a lot of Shostakovich symphonies.
Yeah, you've got five timpani, you've got xylophone, cymbals, triangle, tam-tam. There's a lot going on.
And three snare drummers actually playing at the same time at one point, which was suggested by him for volume purposes. So it's rather loud in spots.
Yeah, I imagine so. And that snare drum really plays a pivotal role in the first movement.
Yes. It's essentially, from what I understand, Shostakovich's kind of answer to Ravel's Bolero, but in a militaristic sense, in that it starts off with an incredibly soft snare drum rhythm that's repeated over and over and over again. But rather than in three-quarter style or triplet style, as in the Bolero, it's in more of a duple or straight-up march style. And it's repeated over and over and over again. And as Yannick explained to us yesterday in the rehearsal, his feeling is that it starts off pretty innocuous enough, being somewhat of a folk melody, and eventually is elements are added that make you realize that it's actually kind of an ironic poke at what is a folk melody.
Well, Shostakovich had that kind of pithy sense of humor in a lot of his music, and there was talk for a long time that part of the thematic material in that, what do you want to call it, an extended ostinato, I guess, is kind of a private joke between him and his son, Maxim.
Could have been. Oddly enough, my first job that I had right out of school was in the New Orleans Symphony, where Maxime was the music director at the time. And he told really interesting facts about his dad's music, which he knew very well. And anytime we performed anything under Maxime, I really felt like we were getting the information straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak.
Yeah, I was looking at a YouTube last night, and I was watching the snare drum very, very carefully, and I noticed at the outset, The drumsticks are right at the edge of the skin, and there was a round object, I'm assuming a mute or a damper, at the other side. And I assume that's for clarity.
Yes, that's exactly right. Otherwise, without any kind of dampening on the head that we're striking, you would get a natural resonance or ring that could be actually pitch somewhat. So to avoid that and get more snare response, we deaden the head with, I use a 3x5 index card, actually. But you could put a cloth on it, anything light that would basically not add a lot of weight, but would dampen the surface area that I'm playing on.
Well, everybody has something to do in this. The xylophone seems to be a pivotal thing in Shostakovich. Every one of his symphonies, or most of them anyway, use xylophone. And it always seems to me when I hear the xylophone in any of what he's doing, it's part of the overall message.
Absolutely. I think probably one of my favorite composers of all time to incorporate xylophone, because xylophone can oftentimes be interpreted as kind of a comical type of sound, but a lot of times he sees xylophone as a way to push through a melody through any texture so that it's very pointed, very just really raspy. And I love that about the way that he is able to get that kind of different spectrum of color out of one instrument.
Well, Chris, it's great to see you again. You're headed out to the stage. I'm headed out to the audience. I can't wait to hear this.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.